situation. She enjoys cooking, knitting, and visiting with her family in a new setting. It's a different experience compared to what she dealt with growing up during the Great Depression. "We were a family of modest means," she said. "We were never hungry and never cold, but it wasn't always what we wanted to eat. It was what was available." The family lived in Alabama before moving to Sebring, Florida, because of her younger brother's health. He suffered from asthma, and it was medically necessary to move him and the family to a warmer climate. They stayed for a few years before returning to Alabama when the brother's condition improved. Betty and Baird got married in 1951 when he was still finishing up his college education at the University of Florida. How it happened, however, was unconventional in itself. His grades started to go down a bit, Green said. His mother told him that he was going to come down and live there and make sure he went to class, or he could marry me and I go down there. He made a bad choice in one way because he could have been rid of her in 1 year. He was stuck with me for almost 69. The couple stayed in Florida and raised a family, but had to deal with a health scare of their own when their son and Jones's younger brother David came down with polio and was quarantined in the hospital for a month. Green was pregnant with her third child at that time, and for 31 days could not see her oldest son. They had determined that pregnant women were more susceptible to anyone. He had nurses around the clock taking care of him, and they would sometimes open the door into the hallway and turn our heads to see him. We could see him, but he could not see us. It was a scary time before Jonas Salk created the first successful polio vaccine for use in 1955. Green says she doesn't remember schools closing down because of these diseases. "There's not too much similarity," Green said. "We did have those diseases, but we were never isolated from family or friends for medical reasons." Fast forward to the present day, and Green said that several things have happened that bring her back to growing up during the Depression. "The biggest difference now," Jones says, "is that the reach to stay in contact goes a lot wider now than it did back during that time. We just have different ways to communicate," Jones said. "We can text her and FaceTime her so she could see the kids. It makes the world a little bit bigger, whereas during the Depression, you were just in your own little world." Green also stays in contact with her church family, as she and the other parishioners listen over the phone to the sermon every Sunday. As for what she hopes to do when this is over, Green says that she would want to spend more time with family, go back to a fabric shop when it's safer for everyone to do so. For now, she's thankful to have her family and her daughter in town to keep her company. "I probably would not have made it without that," she said. "She has been my rock. She really has." Follow Tony Venegas on Twitter at #OA_TVENEGAS. In the photo, Betty Green, right, and her daughter Susie Jones, left, smile for a photo at the family home May 2nd in Odessa. Tony Venegas, Odessa American. Heroes often wear scrubs. Levi Stone, RNMSN, Chief Nursing Officer. "It's certainly been a year of hardship, uncertainty, and sacrifice. However, it's also put a much-needed spotlight on the unsung heroes that make up our country and the world's frontline warriors. From law enforcement officers to grocery clerks and postal workers to EMS personnel, those deemed essential have played an important role in seeing this pandemic through. But one group of frontliners have stood out this past week, and it's truly helped shape 2020 as the Year of the Nurse. Over 3 million strong in the United States alone, nurses represent a variety of diverse cultures and backgrounds. From the deserts of West Texas to the snow-capped mountains of Canada, and across the Pacific to the Philippines and abroad, nurses represent a global network of professionals with a common bond focused all on one thing in particular, you, the patient. Regardless of where we were born or the culture we were raised in, our patients and their well-being takes precedence. Whether it's a 30-week premature baby that's smaller than the size of a can of soda, a 47-year-old man recovering from heart surgery, or an 88-year-old grandmother of 12 living out her final moments of life, it's more often nurses who are consistently at the patient's side in times of need. Each year, Nurses Week is celebrated from May 6th to May 12th to honor all nurses who represent a variety of specialties and expertise that help positively impact, shape, and influence the ever-changing world of healthcare. Balancing mind, body, and spirit through unparalleled advocacy and maintaining a high degree of compassion, nurses are and continue to be the most trusted professionals patients rely on. Predominant in a variety of settings, including hospitals, military, public health, clinics, industrial, and education, nurses are found in nearly every occupational sector with a common bond focused exclusively on patients and their respective quality of life. These often unsung heroes carry an awesome responsibility of putting much-needed humanity and compassion into healthcare. All too often, healthcare can seem so impersonal, almost sterile due to the clinical aspects of the business. However, what nurses bring is an interpersonal rapport with patients and their families through empathy and kindness, knowing that a human life is more than breathing, heartbeats, and fully functioning organs. Aside from identifying and acting upon signs of declining health, nurses also focus on the holistic side of patient needs. Nurses sense when you're scared, recognize when you didn't understand a thing your doctor just told you, or speak up for you when you can't speak for yourself, addressing each with your best interest in mind. Not too many heroes can attest having your back physically, emotionally, and spiritually all in one. Nurses certainly have their share of superpowers, which include, but are certainly not limited to, an ability to not use the restroom for longer than 12-hour stretches, eating breakfast, lunch, dinner in 1 5-minute setting, having a cast-iron stomach, can decipher illegible handwriting, can work 13 hours straight and still get the kids fed and in bed, and can multitask better than anyone on the planet. Intelligent problem solvers, nurses truly define what a hero is and is supposed to be. They miss holidays with their families so that yours might live to see another Thanksgiving or Christmas. They do work that others see unimaginable or too hard to do, and they do it all because they are called to serve others with an unparalleled passion to make this world a better place. Take time this week to look a nurse in the eye, shake their hand, and thank them for all that they do. They may simply say they're just doing their job, but that humility further substantiates the hero's praise they certainly deserve. Nurses, you are heroes deserving of year-round recognition for a service that is both appreciated and respected. Master Gardeners, Hardscape Improves the Appearance of Your Yard and Garden by Debbie Rowland, Master Gardener. Non-living elements in your yard or garden are called hardscape. Hardscape can improve the appearance of your outdoor areas. Some common types are patios, decks, statues, metal artwork, water features, walkways, and paths. They can be rustic or formal or whatever appeals to you. Now is the perfect time to plan an outdoor getaway area for your yard or garden. When planning your hardscape, pick out several different textures you like and that complement your home's exterior. Use 2 or 3 different colors to liven it up. Think of a pathway that begins with an archway and has a gentle curve as you follow the path. Along the walkway, it could be whimsical statues or water features for birds and small wildlife. Although you don't know what comes after the curve, it draws your eye to what is at the end of the path. As you follow it, it opens up to a seating area or patio with a bird bath and two chairs waiting for you to sit and enjoy everything that the outdoors offers. One of my favorite things on Pinterest lately are the wooden fences that have huge flowers and butterflies painted on them. That makes a great backdrop for a flower bed or a patio and can work to hide unsightly areas. Fire pits are another area worth investigating. A relaxing evening cooking out and watching the stars with your family will fit in with social distancing and get everyone outdoors. A few pots of full sun plants, strategically placed, will add texture and color. These areas also allow you to have less lawn to care for, thereby using less water and less labor for the gardener. Many have spent this time at home cleaning storage buildings, garages, and getting their yard in shape. I am seeing many items offered for free on local sites that would work well being repurposed and reimagined in your yard and constructing an area for your family. If you have questions, please call the AgriLife office in Odessa at 498-4071 or in Midland at 686-4700 for more gardening information. Additional information is available at https://aggiehorticulture.tamu.edu and westtexasgardening.org. Gardening. Texas Master Gardeners. We are an educational service organization of volunteers trained by Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. Visit westtexasgardening.org. Be Aware of the Dangers of Pesticides by Jeanette Costanone. Pesticides are a broad name for chemicals like insecticides, herbicides, and fungicides. When garden issues arise, we often turn to pesticides to aid us in the battle against insects, weeds, and fungal pathogens. We need to be aware of the danger associated with misuse and mishandling of these chemicals. Always read the label. That is the best advice I can give you. It is the law, and it is there for your personal safety. The label has information on use, storage, disposal, as well as risks to your health. An example would be knowing how many days to wait after spraying your edible plants. Some pesticides fade away faster than others. The label will tell you how many days after spraying you are able to harvest the crop. It will give you direction on when to apply a follow-up, and even if the material is toxic to bees or fish. Always be aware of the surroundings before applying pesticide. Pesticides can drift into unwanted areas and affect other plants in your garden, leading to issues with those plants. Herbicide damage is a very common problem I help homeowners with. Sometimes the tree or plant can recover, but others, the damage will lead to the death of the plant. Not only do you need to protect your plants, but you need to protect yourself. Pesticides are harmful to humans sometimes. Read the label for proper instruction on what to wear when applying these pesticides. It is always safe to go with closed-toe shoes, as well as long pants and long sleeves, to protect skin exposure and irritation. Please stay safe when using pesticides. This will ensure your safety as well as the safety of your garden. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or at 686-4700 in Midland or visit aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. Gardening, Jeanette Castanone. Castanone is a horticulturist with Texas AgriLife Extension Service. She can be reached at 686-4700 or by email at Jeanette, J-E-A-N-E-T-T-E, dot Castanone, C-A-S-T-A-N-O-N, at ag.tamu.edu.
Hello, this is Michael, continuing with the lifestyle section from Sunday, May 10th, 2020, from the Odessa American. We'll read Pets of the Week. The first pet is a cat. First, I'll describe the photograph. The cat is standing up. It looks like you can just barely see someone behind her. She looks like she's actually about to take a step. She's looking slightly to the left of the photograph. She has green eyes and looks like a medium hair, very soft. She's primarily gray. She has black and white stripes and white around her face, around her mouth and her where her whiskers come out. Her whiskers look like they come out a little dark and then get lighter as they go out, and then white on her blaze right in front of her. Caption accompanying photograph. Cleo, a 2-year-old female Maine Coon, needs to be adopted into a good home. To adopt Cleo or any of the other pets at the Humane Society of Odessa, stop by 7012 Mockingbird Lane or call 381-5503. The Humane Society of Odessa is a no-kill adoption shelter, and all their pets require spay-neuter contract along with an adoption application. Adoption fees for pets start at $50. The second pet this week is a dog, small dog. She has very tan features, and the caption accompanying photograph reads, Millie, a 2-year-old female Chihuahua, needs to be adopted into a good home. To adopt Millie or any of the other pets at the Humane Society of Odessa, stop by 7012 Mockingbird Lane, call 381-5503. And the Humane Society of Odessa is a no-kill pet adoption shelter. All their pets require spay or neuter contract along with an adoption application. Adoption fees for pets start at $50.
MOSC announces 2020-21 slate of events by Sam Waller. Less than 6 weeks after having to cancel the final two events on its 2019-20 schedule because of the coronavirus pandemic, the Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale, MOSC, has announced the slate for its 2020-21 season. The symphony's 58th season will feature 7 events, alternating between its Pops and Family series and the Masterworks series. As always, we try to have a wide variety of musical styles and offerings for our patrons, said Gary Lewis, musical director and conductor for MOSC. The trend we've established over the last few years is to alternate back and forth between the Masterworks for more classically oriented music and then Pops for more family-oriented music. Lewis said logistics force MOSC to schedule well in advance. MOSC announced March 27th that it was forced to cancel its April and May events. As an orchestra, we have to plan 2 years in advance as far as scheduling the concert hall and engaging our guest artists and getting dates on the calendar, he said. It's such a detailed process, the planning of a season like this. We try to fit the programs within each program and how they flow over an entire season. There's a whole lot of planning to do. For all those reasons, we have to do this planning significantly in advance. If the COVID-19 outbreak persists into the fall, full refunds will be issued to patrons should more events be canceled. But, Lewis said, MOSC is hopeful of performing its entire schedule. We're in very uncertain times right now, he said. The health and safety of our patrons and musicians is going to be a priority. We're so desperate to get back together as an orchestra and share this great music. The orchestra has been in the Permian Basin for almost 60 years. We feel a real strong pull to get back into the concert hall and be performing, but we have to take that as circumstances allow. The season is scheduled to begin October 10th with E.T. the Extraterrestrial in concert, the first of four offerings in the Pops and Family series. I couldn't be more excited about the programs we have planned for this season, Lewis said. We're planning to start with the movie E.T. and playing the musical score live while screening the film. We did a similar thing with The Wizard of Oz a couple of seasons ago, and it was such a huge hit that we really wanted to do it again. And E.T. is such a cross-generational favorite. Lewis said there will be times when the boundaries between pop and classical are blurred. The lines aren't so clear-cut all the time, he said. We have a really interesting program scheduled in November, which is a Masterworks program in name, but we're also going to be doing some crossover music. Soprano Barbara Padilla, who was a finalist on America's Got Talent a couple of seasons ago, is a wonderful singer. Like all of our musicians, she is able to cross genres pretty easily. We'll be doing everything from opera arias to contemporary Latin pop tunes. Later in the season, we have Tony Desar, who is a fabulous singer, crooner in the Sinatra tradition. Then we end the season with the music of Queen. From a Masterworks point of view and a more popular music point of view, I think we have a wide variety with each program and over the season as a whole. Tickets are available at the Wagner Knoll box office or online at https://www.mosc.org/concerts/2021-concerts-tickets.html. Patrons who subscribe to either series will receive a 3% discount. Single concert tickets will go on sale soon. Pops and Family Series, October 10th, E.T., the Extraterrestrial in Concert. December 5th, Sounds of the Season. March 6th, Sinatra and Beyond. May 1st, Genes and Classics, The Music of Queen. If you go, what? Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale's 2020-21 season. When? October 10th, 2020 through May 1st, 2021. Where? Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Tickets. https://www.mosc.org/concerts/2021-concerts-tickets.html.
Now we'll read a column from the Midland Reporter Telegram's Saturday, May 9th edition from Tumbleweed Smith. Barber cut hair along the Appalachian Trail. Ethan West has the Squarehead Barbershop in Mason. He likes cutting hair and he likes adventure. He has done 500-mile kayak trips on Texas rivers and walked the 2,000-mile Appalachian Trail. During my sophomore year in high school, I wanted to do something significant in my life at some point. I saw a documentary on TV about the Appalachian Trail. It mentioned the 2,200-mile hiking trail starts in Georgia and goes all the way to Maine. I turned to my dad and said, "I'm going to do that." He said he would drive me to the trailhead. That built a fire within me. When Ethan graduated from high school, he went to barber school and became a barber. Generations of his family had been barbers. I became a barber to earn money so I could hike that trail. But I love barbering and will probably do it the rest of my life. He walked the trail 3 years ago when he was 20. He cut hair along the way. I had about $200 worth of hair cutting supplies with me. Believe it or not, those hippies wanted to get their hair cut right about midway in the hike. I cut their hair and charged for it. I made enough money to cover the cost of the equipment and made some extra for me. I gave the barbering tools away. The walk took 145 days, and he kept friends and customers in Mason apprised of his progress. I started on April 11th and finished somewhere between September or 3rd. It's pretty hard to plan, so I just took it a day at a time. He averaged 22 miles a day. His longest day was around 40 miles. He had a sleeping bag, a tent, and a 36-pound pack to start, but the pack got lighter as he went along. I didn't know anything about hiking, and I was carrying a lot of junk I didn't need. He got a motel room every 5 days so he could take a shower. That's also when he stocked up on food. I weighed about 190 when I started, and my body weight dropped down to about 140 at one point, but I was able to put that back on by eating a bunch. I finished at about 162. He ate energy food during the day. Peanuts, M&Ms, Cheez-Its, Oreos, Snicker bars. But in the morning and evening is when I would cook my protein. He faced all kinds of weather. Snowstorms in the beginning, hot and humid in the middle. Toward the end, it starts getting cold. I walked from spring all the way to fall. I walked in the rain all day sometimes. The dropout rate among young people is high. Older people are usually more successful. I believe it's because their mind is set and refined. They have resolved to complete this. There were fears. You fear every day that you're going to break your leg because you're walking on rocks and different landscapes. If you hike the trail and say you didn't fall, you're not telling the truth. I fell on my butt a lot of times. Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer. Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Far West Texas News, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 8.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 74 and partly cloudy. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the low 60s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 60s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Coronavirus updates, weekdays at 1.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 7 a.m.
Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Readings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, the Alpine Avalanche, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer. Read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Melanie, and I'm reading from the Big Bend Sentinel. Pilots, schools, and scientists come together to fight coronavirus. By Stephen Paulson, May 13th, 2020. Far West Texas. Doctors, scientists, schools, and pilots have formed a new collaboration, the West Texas 3D COVID-19 Relief Consortium, to fight coronavirus, and in Presidio, the school district is pitching in. The group is using 3D printers to make personal protective equipment, and then pilots get it to small rural hospitals and other facilities like nursing homes throughout the vast West Texas region. The group so far has done at least one local supply flight in the Tri-County to the Big Bend Regional Medical Center in Alpine. Through the consortium, the other consortium originally started in Lubbock. The efforts have spread. It has picked up volunteers as far away as Presidio, where Cruz Tovar, a guidance counselor at Lucy Rede Franco Middle School, is using the school's 3D printers to make supplies. The idea started at Texas Tech, where, even before the pandemic, the university was already building relationships with its sister school, the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. We're always looking for ways to coordinate activities, said Simon Williams, Associate Dean for Academic Affairs.